okay, so starting into this week, I would figured, you know, the go home shows to SummerSlam, TakeOver, you know, we got another week of Rampage, which they pretty much they did that damn thing last Friday on Rampage, and you know, we got another Labor of Jericho, which I'm fine with, because it's entertaining the hell out of me. Like I said, if you're entertaining me with wrestling, you're doing your fucking job right now. Then I'm fine with that. But goddamn, what a long Monday Night Raw again for me. So, what the fuck? Let's get into it. It's Monday, August 16, 2021. And Raw is in the books. And it was okay. I feel like it was better than last week. I'm not saying Raw last week was the worst Raw, but, you know, like I said, for us having fans back because of COVID and everything, and, you know, for the fact that shit might shut down again because all this Delta variant shit, you would think that dang old vets would be like, okay, let me get y'all some good shows while I have you, because we might have to shut this shit down once again and get the Thunderdome back. Motherfucker, I really didn't enjoy Raw at all. I do enjoy Randy Orton stuff, because Randy Orton is supposed to be what he is. But before I get into any of that, I'm on Facebook and I'm in this wrestling group, folks. And my wrestling group goes by the name of When Wrestling Was Good. And Allison Howard is the administrator. And right now, if anybody out there, you know, can make logos for t-shirts, you know what I'm saying? Like, any of that type of stuff, like, nice logos, you know, I'll throw out a couple of ideas you can make, you know, just use the slogan When Wrestling Was Good. I don't know, you can use the style how you want, NWO style. That one might be a little bit too hard, because NWO shirts was just NWO. I don't know. I'm just throwing stuff. I was just throwing ideas out there, like D-Generation X, Four Horsemen. You know, anything that when wrestling was, just think about just wrestling back in the day. I don't know, Freak. You know, just, you know, anybody that can do logos and trying to make, Allison Howard is trying to make these t-shirts for her group. I think she just need anybody to, you know, do real good logos. I'm not a logo guy, but I'm out here just selling it on my show. Cause I told her, I said, I will be on here and I will sell it, because I love the group. The group is phenomenal. She posts a lot of stuff. The way when you look at it, you're like, Jesus, wrestling was good back in the day. You know, now you don't know what you're going to get unless you know, some stuff you'll still get good, but not like how it used to be. Like, you gotta, you know, when she posts stuff, you kind of reminisce on how wrestling used to be. You're like, Jesus Christ, wrestling was the shit. The logo is tight. You know, she got a lot of wrestling guys on the front of the, you know, the front of her Facebook page. This is the Facebook group, folks, okay? And I'm selling this, you know, only because, like I said before, I love the group. And I've only been on the group for like 2 days, and I ain't necessarily had to post anything. I just been entertained by the group personally myself. And it takes a lot for me to be entertained by Facebook groups, okay? You know, it's like everybody is like, look like the Simpsons, but it's all wrestling guys. You know, you got Undertaker, Jake the Snake, Roddy Piper, Hulk Hogan, you know, Big Boss Man, Earthquake, Road Warriors, Bret Hart, a lot of guys on the front. So if anybody can, you know, be creative for his designs for t-shirts, please join the group When Wrestling Was Good and hit up my pal, Allison Howard. She really needs ideas on how to get the shirts made and everything, and she would just like for the ideas to just flow through. I think she will definitely take ideas, trust me. I threw a couple out there, and she answered me back, and I just straight told her. Because it wasn't like a personal message that she sent me. It was more like a message back and forth on the comments, you know. And she was just like, you know, pretty much she want to get it out there for the t-shirt she's trying to get made. And I just told her, I said, look, I'll throw it out here on the wrestling group. Maybe somebody out there can just, okay, I heard it. Let me put it out there. And then on top of that, don't even do it for just the t-shirt. The group is a nice group. It's an awesome group. Like, I love the group. Like, one of my favorite wrestling groups so far. And I've only been on this group for, like, 2 days. You know, I don't even think she had this group out that long. I think she only had the group out for, like, July. You know what I'm saying? And I've been in a lot of wrestling groups for years. And this is already one of my favorites. Because when you get kind of into it, wrestling was good. We don't know what's going on now. Hopefully we can get back to that. You know, but and like I said, Monday Night Raw is a Debbie Downer. But like I said before, if anybody can please do that for me, Allison Howard, hit her up on when wrestling was good. She's the administrator. She'll hit you back. She always hits me back. So, you know, that's one thing that's just going on out here as far as, you know, what's going on in the world of pro wrestling for me. You know, not for everybody else. I know everybody probably like, what do you mean? You know, it ain't AEW, WWE. Who the fuck cares? If you're a wrestling fan and you're trying to do something positive with it, it's all a part of pro wrestling. I told her on the thing, we're all in the wrestling family. We all got to help each other out. And, you know, even though I didn't get on here and tell her, oh, well, you know, make sure you sell my show and all this other stuff. I feel like she's the type of person that would do that, but it doesn't matter to me. I do this show just because I love to talk about wrestling. But like I said, if anybody out there, please do that for me. For me. And for Allison, because good person. Great person. And she'll probably love this episode that I'm about to do. Because this is all predicated on what her page is all about when wrestling was good. We just got off the daggone Raw train. And what I say last week, right? This is all part of Allison Howard's wrestling group on Facebook when wrestling was good. See, if this was back in the day, wrestling, and you had somebody like Goldberg come back, and he got his kid in the front. You know, you had somebody like Bobby Lashley. Like I said, it seemed like WWE, you know, what was it? Not too long ago, he killed Kofi Kingston on Money in the Bank. Not literally killed him, but, you know, because obviously we've seen him tonight, you know. You know, you can obviously put on point, okay, he was in the back holding up signs. Maybe he had a case of a concussion. I don't fucking know. As much he got his ass kicked. But Bobby Lashley was on, he was on fire, right? You know, beat the hell out of Kofi at Money in the Bank. Beat his ass. Like, I wouldn't have wanted to make Kofi. Like, if they had told me, yeah, you get paid to get this ass whooping, I'd have been like, yeah, I'll take this ass whooping, but it's got to be a lot of money on the line. Because that was the ass beat. He was brutal. But it's, you know, wrestling is premeditated. It's fake, man. Whatever. It was an ass beat. Right? You get Goldberg come in, and pretty much he keeps selling his son. Dude, you know, he on the top of the ramp. But before the end of the night goes, what he said, don't you touch my son. Don't you touch my son. Now, people probably like, well, that's got to involve something on, you know, on Sunday. Listen, the character of Goldberg, even if, let's say, for instance, Bobby Lashley would put his hands on Goldberg, we know Goldberg's schedule, we know his contract, we're not going to probably see him after SummerSlam, unless he added a new deal or some shit, right? But I would have been added in the fact that, okay, because the build-up was boring. Think about what they did on SmackDown, and I didn't even get a chance to talk about SmackDown. You did, and I'll get into that in just a little bit more in-depth into that just a little bit. I mean, I don't got more news on it. They still sold the match, but we'll get into that. But think about the Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair feud. They added more fuel to the fire. Obviously, Sasha is about to have her own crew. Hopefully, they might let these bitches get the tag team title so they can be, like, the baddest bitches walking on WWE because, you know, we got Sasha is pretty much, you know, it's a rivalry that you love to see between her and Bianca Belair. Like, it was the contract signing was good. And as much as I kind of almost hated the fact that SmackDown did another contract signing, like, 2 weeks after they just did one, it was like both of them went perfectly, as much as I would hate to say, they're doing the same thing that they did 2 weeks ago when they're doing it with this one. But it went by perfectly. Like, SmackDown is a little more, you know, doing a little bit more with the stories than Raw is. And like I keep saying, Raw is 3 hours. You're wasting fucking people's time with 3 hours of Raw. You're not doing dick with it. You got Goldberg coming back. You got a son in the front. You're not really doing nothing with the son. You got Bobby Lashley coming out. You make Bobby Lashley like a fucking piece of trash, like a bitch. You know, he goes down to Goldberg, even though we know for anything, he's got to win Sunday. But it's like, I would just make Bobby Lashley just look is more dominant than other. That's just me. If I'm writing this story, I'd be like, okay, even if you don't, if Goldberg, let's say, for instance, Goldberg said, I don't want my son to be touched, that's fine. You can still give the illusion. You can even sell it to Goldberg. Goldberg could probably like, as long as he don't physically, literally get touched. I said this weeks ago, and I'll say it again. I remember when Triple H and Brock Lesnar was feuding, and I remember, you know, did Shawn Michaels get touched? Yeah, he took an F5, and he got in the Kimura lock. But in the backstage, they gave the illusion that Brock Lesnar beat his ass and body slammed him through the damn window shield. Even though the screen went black and people didn't, you know. And we knew, okay, Shawn Michaels not doing a little too much. He'll take an F5. But that's about it. Right? Even years ago before that, Shawn Michaels did the same thing when, what was it, the first Monday Night Raw of 1999. The infamous finger poke of Doom Night. And Shawn Michaels came out there and told Vince, we're going to have The Rock versus Mankind. The infamous night where Mankind won the title. With the Shawn doing the back, Vince was hating, you know, he hated Shawn Michaels. So what did he do? The corporation beat Shawn Michaels' ass in the parking lot. But what they did was they made it the way the cameraman went down. Camera was facing one way to the arena. While the illusion was put in your brain that Shawn Michaels just got his ass beat by the entire corporation, even though we know he wasn't taking no bumps. Because at that time, guess what happened? Shawn Michaels had a back injury. He was pretty much at that time retired. And you could have did the same with Goldberg's son. You could have put makeup on his face, you know, little bludgeoned a little bit. But it would have been just makeup on his face. And he could have just sold the whole ass with him from Bobby Lashley the entire night. Because you didn't do nothing with Goldberg or Bobby Lashley the entire night. All they did was what? For a 3-hour show, all they did was say, oh, Goldberg and Bobby Lashley going face-to-face. Who the fuck cares? What are they going face-to-face for? It's no story to be told with this. See, in the world of wrestling is always predicated on storylines. And that's where it comes back to with the group that I'm in now. And I know I might be selling it a little too hard. People are like, oh, my God, the wrestling group. Get off of it. Trust me. The group is fine. I love the group. But like I said before, and I'm going to sell it again just because if anybody gets irritated, her name is Allison Howard. She is the administrator. And the group is called When Wrestling Was Good. So, and it goes back to it, even though I, you know, yeah, when wrestling was good. And it goes back to it. And I know I'm selling this, you know, the hell out of the group. I love the group. That's why I'm selling it so hard. I wouldn't sell this group if I didn't think the group was good. But it's true. That old school wrestling would have just at least sold the storyline. You know? And it's not got nothing to do with just the attitude era and the Monday Night Wars and none of that. You can go back even further. It would have did this Goldberg and Bobby Lashley stuff would have been sold way better than what the hell they're doing. Because then you go to SmackDown and you look at the whole John Cena, Roman Reigns thing, and it's like, they don't have to add nothing more on Friday with these two guys. Like, and John Cena, like, you know, I know you missed, like, one SmackDown, but come on now. John Cena didn't really necessarily take no bumps either. Goldberg didn't have to take no bumps. And even if John Cena probably told Vince, well, I'm not taking no bumps until SummerSlam. Okay, let's give an illusion that you took a bump in the backstage. Well, okay. Because he's not taking the actual bump. He's just, it's the story that's being told. Right? Anybody think that you know, Ric Flair actually got his ass beat by Batista a few years back when Batista wanted that match so desperately with Triple H, and he drug, you know, Ric Flair body out of the daggone, you know, out of the goddamn locker room. We heard a bunch of smashing, but that was the illusion of, okay, Batista is whipping Ric Flair's ass, and he just drug him out. Just a little tired. Gotta interview tomorrow, folks. So it's crazy to me with Monday Night Raw is like, so like I said before, and I'll say it again, I am gonna watch wrestling all week this week. I knew Monday Night Raw was gonna probably be the get it over with. More glad that it is on Monday now, because now I can get ready for all the good stuff, because tomorrow we got NXT. NXT got good matches set up. They should be able to sell everything that they sold last week for NXT. They don't have to sell tomorrow because they can sell everything else. Right? As far as everybody that was physically there. And then I got Wednesday Dynamite. So, speaking of more Monday Night Raw, because this is the Monday Night Raw show, Nikki Ash and Charlotte and Rhea Ripley. Like, I don't know what the hell happened between Money in the Bank and now with the Raw's women title picture, but I'm not interested. And I just, they so desperately need, like, Becky back, and I'm tired of saying it, but they do. It's been not fun for me since the night that Nikki Ash won the title. And like I said before, I'm on record of saying Nikki Cross should be in the title contention or something. But that was for that character, not the character that she's selling now. This character is worse than the Mighty Molly shit, because at least with the Mighty Molly shit, it was actually entertaining. I'm not entertained by none of this stuff that Nikki Cross is doing with Nikki Ash. Like, I'm not entertained by any of this crap. It's not fun. It's more sad. I don't want to shit on it because I'm such a fan of her, but I can't, you know, praise it either. So whatever's being done with this, I would think WWE would need to hurry up and fix that shit. Because right now, like, with certain characters, you can do, like, the straight, okay, let's fix the problem with what's going on with your character, you know, like with Elias. Like, right now, I'm interested. We'll more likely probably see Elias next week. Really was no purpose of, like, right now, they just slow building the whole, okay, Elias is dead. They show it in 2017 to 2021 and all this other stuff. We'll see. I got a lot of promise. I always go into characters that they build up for. Even in recent years with, you know, Eva Marie, you know, and I'm not an Eva Marie fan, but when they was bringing her back, I kind of get my hopes up more just because I'm like, okay, maybe they'll bring her back and do something with it this time. Maybe, you know, they see something that we didn't see and they got it this time. And, you know, hopefully, you know, with Elias. But the Nikki Ash stuff, I'm not getting it no more. Like, I'm not for it. It's nothing. They screwed the pooch on the Nikki Cross gimmick, because she could have been a women version of Mankind or Mick Foley, where she could have been like tough as nails, taking ass whipping, but always giving them good matches, you know, type shit. And they're trying to pull it off like that, but it's like at this point in juncture, like, who's believing in a person runs down the ring with a dumbass cape and looks stupid as fuck? And I hate to say that about Nikki Cross or Nikki Ash, because I'm a fan, but you can't take that shit seriously no more, right? Got another match for SummerSlam that was added that I kind of knew that was going to happen. Don't know how it's going to go now, because WWE went straight left field with the entire way that they're doing it, or they might be going the right way correctly, just confusing a lot of people. But I'm talking about Matt Riddle and Randy Orton versus Almas and AJ Styles. You can kind of still see a slow build with AJ Styles and Almas. I like to see stuff like that. Just slow build it. You ain't got to do too much. It ain't got to be too early. It ain't got to be too late. It can just be at the right exact time. WWE got to try to shill a story right. You know? Even the superstars got to do it as well. But you got to, you know, you got AJ Styles doing it, so you should hit a home run with it. But, I mean, there's nothing else you can pretty much do with that. Right? So, I'm a little bit on the fence about the entire, you know, like I said, the whole entire thing that they're doing on Raw. I wanted to say I'm on the fence of how they're doing Almas, only because it is Raw and if he was on SmackDown and he was doing a storyline, I'd have been fine with it because it seemed like it's night and day. But we'll keep our eyes open. You know, like I said, not a lot of shit to get in the Raw about. I try to get into the meat and potatoes of all this shit. You know what I'm saying? WWE, like I said before, they do anything on Raw. It's like they just try to get by. Like a person on welfare. Like, we're feeding our kids just to get by. But then you get the SmackDown and they like, did you had enough? Like, no, I didn't. Like, what the fuck? I'm gonna need for them to change their ways. Okay. That's what I'm saying. I need for them to change their fucking ways. Sick of it. It's like the death of this shit. Nothing else really. I'm trying to think of what else happened. They teased the Morrison Miz breakup, which I was like, when I looked at it, because I was actually like, at that time, I was like kind of cooking food at the time. Was so against it because I was just like, look, at this day and age, do we really want to see Miz versus Morrison? First of all, you don't want to really see it no more. We've gotten it already. We have even gotten a breakup from them 2 years ago. And then I think Morrison was gone for a while. You better off just keeping these guys together, like how you did Shawn and Triple H for so long. You know, keep them together. Like once Shawn and Triple H got back together in, what was it, 06? Because we already did the whole, okay, when they got back together in 02, they did the whole breakup, right? And then it was a long-lasting feud. And then once they got together in 06, they pretty much stayed together until Shawn retired, right? So that's how I am with Miz and Morrison. There's no purpose of breaking them guys up. I look at it more like it's something for Miz to do more than anything. And it is something for John Morrison to do. But I'm going to just say more so Miz. Because at this point in juncture, what more can you do with the Miz? But Miz can still give back a ton, right? Just keep him with John Morrison and let them, you know, make people laugh and all this other stuff on TV. That's what you need. That's all you need. You don't need these guys feuding and have that. That's an extra slot in the pay-per-view in another month that they both got to take up because they both want to feud against each other. We don't need to see that no more. Damian Priest. Get into Damian Priest just a little bit. So I looked at the annals of wrestling, and I don't even really want to necessarily get into tonight with Damian Priest, but I want to get into the perfect, what would you call it? What would I call it? The perfect build up as a superstar, as far as like the perfect run. Like, if you would think of any one person that would be like, well, who had the most, like the one, like one guy you could think that just had the perfect run in wrestling. It ain't even got to be necessarily WWE or just in wrestling. Now, obviously, I'm gonna pick WWE right now because I look at it like The Rock. And why do I say that? Because even though it didn't go the way Vince planned it out to be when they first brought The Rock in, it was perfectly, like when you watch like the Raws, like in a row, because right now that's what I'm doing, from when The Rock first got there until like right now I'm in the middle of 98, you know, like I'm in the end of 98 and he just joined the corporation. it was so perfect the way they did it. It was like, okay, it was kind of like, you look at it like on TV, you would think it was done on purpose. But you know it wasn't done on purpose. They just had no choice but to do that. Think about it. He came in, he was supposed to be the baby face, people booed him. So what did you do? A year later, pretty much, you turn him heel. He pretty much finds himself as a character. He flourishes a little bit more on the mic. People starting to love him. You kind of slow, like you didn't officially did it, but you took him away from the nation. And I seen how they did that. It was like really slow. It's like you can't even actually pick a pinpoint night where you were like, okay, that's when the nation broke up. No, they just gradually went their own ways. And people loved The Rock between the time that they transitioned him from the nation to the corporation within that month. Because it was like a build-up or a two-month build-up of him between after SummerSlam of 98 to until pretty much that Survivor Series 98. So like three months pretty much, right? Between that time, he became a babyface. People loved him. They said his catchphrases and everything. And Vince did the ultimate give and take back because he knew, okay, if I take it back and I make him the most heelish motherfucker on my roster, people will love Stone Cold more because you couldn't turn Stone Cold heel at the time. That wouldn't have just been right. It'd have been all wrong, especially for what Stone Cold stood for in 98. He was the hard-working man when The Rock was pretty much the sellout corporate butt-kissing, ass-kissing, right? There you go. The Rock does his thing, 99. He's still a heel until he lost the belt, but people were still loving him right before he got lost the belt. It was just a mixture of, you know, people love Stone Cold so much, it was hard not to cheer him. But as time went on throughout 99, people loved The Rock more. In 2000, everybody already know what happened in 2000. He was the guy. Where I'm getting at with Damian Priest is, right now I feel like it should be a no-brainer. I think this guy should win the United States title. But I think the way they should build him up, let him defend that title throughout the fall. Slowly build this guy. I wouldn't even let people see it kind of coming, even though I would see it coming because this is what I'm rooting for. So around, you know, let him find himself with the United States Championship, you know, while they get booed Bobby Lashley, and then around Royal Rumble time, let him win the Royal Rumble. That's just me. But it is what it is. Like I said before, you kind of see it for yourself, but they're not, WWE is not going to go that route. And like I said, people probably like, well, that's a little too fast. It's only too fast depending on how WWE want to play it. You know, like if they want to play dumb with it, then yeah, of course it's going to be too fast. So, you know, I kind of compare it to NFL and, you know, I kind of compare WWE to NFL, which I'll get into in just a minute. All right, so comparing WWE to NFL, I look at it like, okay, with NFL, depending on what you have, because I look at Monday Night Raw right now, and I'm like, you don't have a lot to go on for as, like, big players. Like, you got to bring in somebody else to be a big player for Bobby Lashley right now for Raw. So it's, like, kind of stink right now. I know people are like, well, with Roman Reigns, you know, they doing the same thing. I look at that more like, but they're telling a story with Roman Reigns, and it's like, one of those, it's a perfectly good told story out of every, like, you know, in recent years, it's probably one of the most perfectly good stories that WWE is telling right now. You know what I'm saying? Let, you know, like, he's the head of the table, so it's nothing really pretty much wrong with that. What I had, like I said, what I got a problem with is the whole Goldberg thing with Bobby Lashley, because it's nothing to really be told, you know? But when it comes to Damian Priest, I'm more like, okay, you know, I kind of compare that to, like, let's say the NFL, right? Like, right now, I watched a bunch of preseason football over the weekend, okay? I seen a lot of rookies that flourished, a lot of rookies that look like, okay, cause for pause. And pretty much 100% of that only had to really do with the organization that they're around. Like right now, I already kind of knew in my head Justin Fields was gonna look like $1 million in his first preseason game. Not saying that's my head, not how he looked in his first actual game, right? But I kind of figured that only because of what he already has. Like, the man already has a defense. He pretty much got an offense. The Bears always lacked in recent years a quarterback. They had a built team. The only reason why they went to the playoffs is because they was predicated on defense. Then you look at a guy like Damian Priest, and you're like, you don't necessarily got to give this guy, you know, a T-shirt. He ain't got to really necessarily sell it. The whole thing when he comes out, he acts like he's throwing a bow and arrow at the screen. His name light up. I love it. You know, I feel like Sheamus might sell for him. It's just the perfect storm, you know. But who am I to say? I'm not working for fucking WWE. You got to look at all accountabilities, like, what the fuck? Like, who want him pushed, who don't? Does Vince see anything in him? Does he not? It sucks. That's pretty much enough for, like, the Raw stuff. Like I said before, folks, that's pretty much the end of the show tonight. I don't have really a lot to get into. I will get into football, but like I said, I got something to do tomorrow. I got an interview, a whole new job lined up for you, boy. Like I said before, if you're a wrestling guy, wrestling fan, wrestling woman, child, anything, join the group on Facebook. It's a Facebook group that's called When Wrestling Was Good. And trust me, you know, I feel like when she should change it to When Wrestling Was Great. But, you know, it is what it is. And her name is Allison Howard. She need ideas on how to make T-shirts for the group and everything. Trust me, once the T-shirts get made, I'm buying one. Hell, I might get a couple so I can sell them my damn self and do all the proceeds and everything for the group. Don't know. Depending on how everything goes as far as the group goes. But I love the group. Out of every group that I've joined so far on Facebook, you know, from NFL groups to NBA groups to wrestling groups, this is like by far my favorite one. I just follow shit and I'm definitely going to start commenting. But Allison Howard, you're doing a damn good job for that. Anything else to talk about? I'll probably run across football real quick. Like I said, I watched football over the weekend. I loved what I seen from Justin Fields. You know, with these NFL guys, you got to understand the situations that they're put in. I don't want to just say, oh, I'm out here just saying, let's put up them rookies because they're sacrificial lambs. Because what do you have to lose? Well, it all depends. If you're a new coach and you're coaching the Jaguars, you might want to sit Trevor Lawrence for a bit because you're a new coach. You could just have time and opportunity time to change the culture. Until then, throw Minshew out in the line of fire. Let his ass get hurt. Not saying I want to see anybody get hurt, but if you're a friend, if you're a coach or a GM and you're asking them, well, who would you rather see get hurt? Minshew or Trevor Lawrence? Look, Trevor Lawrence is supposed to be your franchise. So you're going to say Minshew because he's not your franchise. But then you see a guy like Justin Fields and you own Chicago Bears. And you know that they already have a team. I would just put him out there. Depending on the situation. People can sit up here and all these coaches can say, well, Justin Fields processed more information better than Trevor Lawrence. Well, the situation is a little bit different. How you figure that? Because with the daggone Chicago Bears, they was already a complete team pretty much. They just needed a quarterback. So, of course, he could process the information a little bit more better. He got a little bit better of a team on his hands, obviously. Vice versa with the Jaguars, the team went number one overall in the pick. So, in some shape, form, or fashion with the daggone Packers, I mean, not the Packers, the Jaguars. Pretty much, you're like, oh, God. right? Now, let me just hold him for at least a year. At least within a year, you can do some stuff in the offseason, do some stuff in the, you know, once the season is over, you know, do a lot of stuff. Like, share, subscribe, folks. I'm not going to sit up here and say my show is all the rage because I'm not the type of guy. What I will tell you is that I shoot straight from the hip. I hold no punches. I don't give no fucks. If you do like the show, though, you can listen to me on anchor.fm/myopinionblack. I might change that name sooner than later. I might go back to Blood, Sweat, and Ears. We'll see how that goes. Because I love the whole My Opinion and how it just roll off the tongue for me. But now I'm looking at it like, okay, Blood, Sweat, and Ears was more unique of a name because a lot of people using My Opinion, which is, I should have seen it coming. I was just like so happy to just do this for once. And now I'm doing it. Or you can listen to me on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Breaker, Overcast, Pocket Cast, or Radio Public. I'm on all these platforms that you can listen to me to. And if you have me on your Apple, one of your Apple devices, and you got the whole Apple Play and everything, my episode will pop right up as soon as I publish. Other than that, folks, there's nothing else to really get into. I try to keep these shows short and a little bit sweet because, like I said before, we got a long week ahead of us. We got SummerSlam this week. We don't know what AEW trying to pull off over this weekend. For us, at least this Friday, because they'll be at the United Center for Rampage, which should be a big show. I'm going to stop, you know, doing the whole rumor mill of the CM Punk stuff, and I'm going to just be a wrestling fan with that this whole entire week and just watch everything, you know, because at this point in time, it's more like maybe he will, maybe he won't show up, you know, but it's more of a, I just got to watch everything because so far AEW has been so entertaining for me right now, you know, as far as what they're trying to do for wrestling, because, you know, we need that in our life. And SmackDown's been fun too. But other than that, folks, like, share, subscribe. And don't forget, folks, Allison Howard on When Wrestling Was Great on the Facebook group When Wrestling Was Great. If you look it up, it's like a Simpsons picture on the front emulating wrestlers. Like, you'll see a Bret Hart as a Simpson version, Hulk Hogan, Roddy Piper, all that stuff. Nice wrestling group. Great wrestling group. She needs ideas for t-shirts so she can make them. Just throw out your ideas. And trust me, no ideas are dumb ideas. Just don't be a dick. Don't be an asshole towards her. Because then I'll be pissed that I even put this out there. But other than that, folks, I'm out.